live in an increasingly more self-serving, I owe it to me kind of society that has very little gratitude for much of anything other than you taking care of me. Cheryl has shared with me this thought. What if you only had today the things you thank God for yesterday? What would you have? I'll tell you what, that's worth thinking about. Because one of the very first things that came to my mind was the passing of Darlene. Did I thank the Lord for her involvement in my life the day before, and I didn't, and that's why she's not a part of my life anymore? It's worth contemplating, isn't it? I absolutely think so. We need to be thankful for everything we have. We become so absorbed in our lives that we forget how much good is done for us all of the time. And many times, things are being done for us that we don't even recognize or are aware of being taking place. A passage that comes to mind is Matthew the 25th chapter, or I'm sorry, not the Matthew 25, Matthew 6. No wonder that didn't make any sense when I had Matthew 25 turned up there. Let's look at Matthew 6. That'll make a whole lot more sense to me and you too, I'm sure. Matthew 6, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to pick up at verse 25. Says, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Is not God all wise? Don't be caught up in what needs to be done tomorrow. We need to take care of today. And most of the time, we aren't taking care of today. What is exactly important to you? What's most important to you? Your job? They certainly are beneficial, are they not? Your family? Your wife? Your marriage? Your children? Your grandchildren? The in-laws? Uncles? Aunts? Is your car important to you? Is God important to you? Is time off, vacation time, is that important? Is the country important to you? The day-to-day things we often don't think about, are they important to you? I guarantee you, if the oxygen stops, somebody's going to get upset about it. Isn't it? If God cuts the oxygen supply off, I think all of us are going to have a problem. retirement. Cheryl and I talk about retirement. I claim to be in retirement. I don't seem to be doing much retiring, but I do claim to be in it. And which of these would you do without? Which of those things would you do without? Which one of those would you want to do without? What about the Bible? Is that important to you? A teacher? What makes your life good? What makes your life good? You have the job you always dreamed of, and now you're CEO of this company. You're the president of the company. You're high up on the corporate ladder. And so you've got the best job anybody could possibly have in all the world. You make all the money you ever will need. Cheryl keeps telling me, well, I sure wish you'd been a millionaire. You could take care of me when I wouldn't have to go to work all the time. True, if that was true, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Yeah, well, it didn't work out that way. You should have said no when I asked you if you wanted to date a 58-year-old man. Your child is a sports star, and so that makes your life good. You have a good marriage. Your family is nationally known. You're famous. Okay. I've got in-laws that have been in the movies. That's pretty famous. They was in a movie with Bruce Dern. He always played a lot of bad characters, though. God's watching over me. Is that what makes your life good? You've got good health? What makes your life bad? What makes it bad? You have a job that you've been laid off from, you got fired from, the company went belly up. I was in that position one time. You come in on Friday and they say, Monday go to the unemployment office. We're closed. Wow. Thanks for all the notice. You have a bad marriage. You're on the verge of divorce. You have financial troubles. You or someone in your family is facing criminal charges. Trouble with a boss or coworker. You have trouble with your kids. I can't think of the number of times I've heard individuals say they would return to church as soon as they got their kids under control. It never happened. Oh, those kids are trouble sometimes. You have trouble with a teacher. Maybe you've got bad health. What are you thankful for? That's what this really boils down to, is what are you thankful for? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for all of the things that we've already mentioned. My job, my family, the car that I have, the fact that I've got 175,000 miles on it and it's still running. I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for the Bible. I'm thankful that God communicated with mankind so that we can know the God of heaven. I'm thankful for time off. I'm thankful that I live in this country, because I can't think of living in any other country where I could be as blessed as I am in this country. Even the poorest of the poor are rich in comparison to the rest of the world. We really ought to be thankful. We need to teach these young people about being thankful and having gratitude for the things that they have. I've never been in war. I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps. I knew a lot of men who came back from Vietnam. They weren't the same as they were when they went. And that same thing's true of a lot of other men and women. They've been exposed to some of the most horrible sights, the most terrible aspects of life. Realities that most of us never even comprehend unless maybe we see some Hollywood version of their foolishness. We ought to be thankful for veterans who have put their lives on the line and to allow us to live in a country that's free. To have a God who is always looking out for us and caring for us, who provides the sunshine and the rain and the snow and the cold and all of these things that sustain this life here. The oxygen, the carbon monoxide, and all those other things that are a necessary part of life. When was the last time you thanked God for the oxygen you get to breathe? Let's go back and let's look at that thought again. What if you only had today the things that you thank God for yesterday? Would you have oxygen today? I wouldn't, because I didn't think about thanking God for oxygen yesterday. There are a lot of things like that that are truly important. I'm thankful that I don't get what I deserve. Now, we were talking in class this morning. I read that article on Facebook where the individual basically made God look like a horrible individual, just cruel in how he's going to punish people eternally. And the conclusion was, therefore, God's not going to punish people forever. I'm sorry, in our discussion this morning, we found that there is eternal life and eternal destruction. They're both eternal. What's true of one is true of the other. That's an important thing to get a hold of. God is not a mean old man who can't wait to send you to a devil's hell. He is a God who cares about you. Not only does Peter tell us that God does not desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, God didn't just stop there. He sent His Son into the world and allowed His Son to be taken by His creation and killed, so we could be saved by His shed blood. I'm thankful for a God who loves me so much that He's unwilling to give me what I deserve, but is willing to save me through His crucified Son. Aren't you? I'm really glad I don't get the things that I deserve. I remember doing some things when I was a younger person, and I'm so thankful I didn't get caught, because it would have been the whole world of difference. Here's a little thought that I took out of a bulletin some years ago. It's entitled, "Isn't It So?" When we look at what we want and then compare that with what we have, we shall be unhappy. When we think of what we deserve, then of what we have, we shall thank God. I'm thankful that we were not flooded out like so many others were in the spring. You see, the Bible tells me in Psalm 30 and verse 12 that my soul may sing praises to Thee and not be silent, O Lord, my God. I will give thanks to Thee forever. Again, the psalmist in Psalm 92 and verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Thy name, O Most High. Paul, writing to the Colossians in chapter 3 and in verse 15, says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. and then also in writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God." And then in chapter 9 in verse 15 he says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." And I'll tell you what, the gift of God is certainly indescribable. And then, in fact, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, he writes, "In everything gives thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Do you realize that just prior to this, in verse 16 and verse 17, he has said, "Rejoice always and pray without ceasing"? What is there that you do not have to be thankful for? Get your pencil out, get your paper out, and mark down all of the things that you do not have to be thankful for. That list should be a big goose egg. Because there isn't anything that I have in this life that I shouldn't be thankful for. Even if it's difficulties. Difficulties will make me a better person. A humbler person. And a more pleasing person to God. When was the last time you thanked your parents for all of their sacrifices? When was the last time you thanked the preacher for all of the lessons and classes he teaches and how it has helped you to grow spiritually? When was the last time you thanked a Bible class teacher and how much he or she has meant to your spiritual growth? What about a coworker or a boss that makes the workplace a better place to be? Well, if you will, look with me at Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke 17. Luke 17, and we want to go down to verse 12 and begin. Verse 12. "As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan." The next verse says, Jesus asked the question, "Where are the nine?" That is exactly the way we are a lot of the time. We're like the nine. They had a terribly horrible society separated from disease. Their body is rotting as they live. And they've been cleansed. But they don't take the time, except for this one, to thank the one who helped them with that. You have inoperable brain cancer. And God heals that. Are you going to thank Him? It's basically the same thing. It's basically the same thing. You see, it just takes a moment to thank someone who has done something special for you. It only takes a few moments to write a note or to send a card, to make a call, to just simply say thank you. I don't know where I found this, but this is taken from an article by Glenn Colley. It's entitled "The Fable of the Elephant and the Flea." And there's an old fable about an elephant and a flea, and the two were great friends. They walked and they chatted together. One day they were walking along on an old country road, and they came to a flimsy old wood bridge that spanned a deep gorge. And as they walked across the bridge side by side, the old bridge, it swayed and it creaked under the weight of the elephant. And when they were across, the flea asked his big friend, "Did you notice how we shook that bridge?" Some people sometimes are like this. They walk through life treating God just like the elephant was treated by the flea. They breathe his air, they eat his food, they drink his rain, they walk through their days as if they owe him nothing. In reality, they owe him everything. What other response should there be to his goodness than the psalmist says in Psalm 68 in verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens, the God who is our salvation." God daily bears our burdens. God is always watching out over us. He knows what's going on in each one of our lives, good or bad. Consider this. Here's another thing that came from Pulpit Helps. It's entitled, "What If?" What if God couldn't take time to bless us today because we couldn't take time to thank Him yesterday? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we did not follow Him today? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled when God sent the rain? What if God took away the Bible tomorrow because we did not read it today? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God would not hear us today because we would not listen to Him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the way we answer His call for service? What if God met our needs the way we give Him our lives? Well worth our reflection. Lord, help me to be thankful. The psalmist again says in Psalm 103 and in verse 10, "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." I'm thankful God hasn't given me exactly what I deserve. I don't know when this was, but this was 1996. It was a while back. Jason Moore in the South Side Reminder wrote these things about being thankful for. He said, "America, it's home. It's my home. Not perfect, not permanent. It's our plain of Moab. Babies, the stuff of which people are made, that makes them mighty precious." I just got a new grandson, and I'll tell you what, he's pretty precious. Children love kids. The same stuff half-baked. They're not done yet. They're becoming, and I can identify. For Bowman, D. Bowman, that is. He's my friend. He helps me. I like him. Election. Not my freedom to choose a president, although I'm thankful to have a voice. I mean God's willingness to choose a sinner. I'm grateful to have a voice with Him. God chose us through Jesus Christ. Amen. For fathers, I miss mine today. Gravy. Without it, it would just be biscuits. Amen. Hope. What makes the problem answerable? The fall recoverable. The burden bearable. The barrier movable. The impenitent tolerable. In short, what makes us able? Ink. There's no substitute for the written word. You can revisit, reread, reconsider, reflect, reform for joy. Sometimes it bubbles. Sometimes it overflows. Rarely it is a steady stream. At times there comes a drought, but when he comes, there'll be plenty to go around. For kin. You love them. You endure them. You live with them. You lose them. You love them more. Don't wait to be kind to your kin. Learning. It's tantamount to growing. You have to work at it. Nobody can learn you. You have to do it yourself. Memories. A faculty which I suppose will be sharpest in eternity when we shall either rejoice or regret our present state. But in either case, see clearly. Nodding. Folks do this sometimes in agreement, at other times in dreariness. The former means success. The latter, sit down, I need to hear both. Opportunity. It knocks more frequently than I answer and often softer than I hear. Lord, quicken my step and sharpen my ability to hear. Patience. It's worth waiting for. Quilt. A way to keep out the cold, a way to keep in the warmth, something to get wrapped up in. Resurrection. I don't understand it completely. I can't picture it fully, but I believe it. Sincerity. When people are what they say, the folks who possess this are my heroes. They prove it can be done. Test. Whether you flunk or pass, they're best when you're finished. I never had one from which I didn't learn. Umbrellas. Shelters for when the sky is falling. For voice. You never like your own. People that do are dangerous. But I'm grateful to have one and someone to talk with. Windows. A way to let the light in. A way to see what's coming. Sometimes a route of escape. X-rays. A way to see inside. You have to sit still to do it, but it's worth it. Insight is wisdom, or wisdom's companionship, or companion. Why? I don't always have the answer. But I've gotten a lot of use from the question. If nothing else than to be informed of my own ignorance. Zero. The humblest number to perform. The placeholder for the other nine. It's a hard position to occupy, but some of the best lessons come from standing next to number one. I'll tell you what, friends, we truly need to be thankful to the God of heaven. We sing a song, hadn't thought about this in a long time. We sing a song that has this phrase in it, hardly a comfort can afford. I don't know when we sang that last, but I'll tell you what, there was a period of time in which I just simply decided I couldn't sing that phrase. Because that's just simply not true. It's just simply not true. We need to make thanksgiving and gratitude a habit in our lives. Here's some thoughts that I want to finish with. It's not what's in your pocket that makes you thankful, but what's in your heart. What's in your heart? If a fellow isn't thankful for what he's got, he isn't likely to be thankful for what he's going to get. If you have nothing to be thankful for, make up your mind that there is something wrong with you. Ingratitude curdles the milk of human kindness. I like that. I don't want any of it, though. If Christians praise God more, the world would doubt Him less. I think that because of denominations, we tend not to praise God the way we should. There's nothing wrong with saying, praise Jesus, praise God, and others hear it. Many of us grumble because we are temporarily deprived of blessings our forefathers never even had. In fact, they never even heard of. My grandfather died at 104. He farmed with horses, mules. And he saw computers come into the world. I guess he was around when the Wright brothers flew. And now we have things that don't even look like what the Wright brothers built. It's just amazing, isn't it? A thankful spirit is like sunshine on the fields. If you had today what you thanked God for yesterday, what would you have? I tell you, if you've got a mirror that you look at almost every day, you ought to note that in the corner of that mirror, so that you're reminded of that every day. It'll help you to be more grateful, more thankful, not just to heaven, not just to our God, not just to His Son and the Holy Spirit, but to all of those around you that daily do things for us that we don't even think about. Is your life what it should be tonight? If it's not, our God is a great God and He has provided the opportunity for you to get right with Him. And there isn't anything in this world that would be more important for you to do than that very thing tonight. You can be baptized into Christ. You can have every sin you have ever committed forgiven. Think about it. Every sin. And I don't know, maybe you don't have very many. But I had a pile of them. A big old stack. It was a mountain high. And He took care of them. He'll take care of yours. And maybe you've already done that. Maybe you are a Christian tonight. But there's some weakness in you. There's some difficulty that you're facing. Some hardship. Whatever it might be. Maybe you just need to make your life right again. Maybe you haven't been as grateful as you need to be because you've just been caught up in the world. And I know it's easy to get caught up in the world. That's why I quit watching the news. I just got tired. Got tired of it all. I listen to a thing here or there, but very seldom anything more than that. Because it'll drive you crazy. But God is always there for us. He will never leave you, never desert you. If you need to make your life right, come back to Him. He wants you to be with Him eternally. Won't you come as we stand and sing?